Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope you're feeling good. Welcome back to 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR's morning show. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
A little bit later, we're going to get into the 10 most common social media sins we commit online. Got that one coming up for you in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. Got some entertainment news as well. A That Ain't Right story. And, of course, some local good stories of the day. But every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour, we like to kick things off like this. Tell me something good.
That's right. Welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. We're here every Monday to tempt your taste buds, challenge your food horizons, and share the history and development of the foods we know and love. Often we like to share healthy food recipes and talk about how food can enrich your life. Today we're going to talk about fried foods.
Oh yeah!
No, 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 Melissa. Yeah, yeah. You're not going to ruin fried food for me. We have a long-standing relationship and I'm not willing to give it up. I don't care what you say.
No, don't get your knickers in a knot. I'm not here to bash fried foods. Actually, I was pleasantly surprised when I was researching this topic for today's show.
I have never been let down by something deep fried.
That's because you haven't deep fried that old boot you keep talking about yet.
I'm pretty sure it would taste very good.
Oh, I quit it, you two. This is serious. We have to talk about fair food later.
Deep fried fair food. I'm in heaven.
Funnel cakes.
Cheese curds.
Corn dogs.
Mini donuts.
Hey, slow down. We're not there yet.
But deep fried Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. We'll get to all the wonderful and crazy deep fried foods you can find at our fairs. But before you two get lost in food bliss, we need to talk about why we like fried foods, the science involved, and where fried foods originated.
Okay. Work, then play. Got it.
All work and no play makes Jimmy a dull boy.
Hey, that's not true. Hey, okay, dang it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why do you always got to tie, got to be right? And don't call me Jimmy.
Sorry, James. You are an unapologetic workaholic, and you make it too easy to pick on you.
Hello, can we get back on topic here? There's fair food waiting.
Right. So there's no denying, pretty much everybody loves or at least likes fried foods. Whether it's French fries, fried chicken, or even donuts, there's something about the crispy outside and delicious taste that, as my Grandma Ruth would say, tastes like more.
That's the truth.
What's the phrase you used earlier? Food bliss? Yes, that.
Food bliss is a term now used around the world by nutritional therapists and psychoanalysts when your brain and you lose track of when the stomach is full or satiated and you get into a zone when you're just eating. An Indian website, Barachi.com, describes it this way. Simply put, a kind of cuddle zone where the neurotransmitters in the brain are comatose enough to ineffectively segregate between feeling happy and gluttony.
My neurotransmitters in a cuddle zone? That sounds cozy. Maybe a little weird, but cozy.
That's okay. We like weird. And fried food.
It's hard not to like fried food. The sugar and starch increases serotonin, which gives you a sense of well-being. And the sodium kicks in the oxytocin, which is the cuddle chemical. It's a big part of the reason why fried foods are often many people's go-to comfort food.
I get that.
Can we move on from the cuddle zone, please? You know, it's just me and Seth here in the same studio. It's getting a little awkward, a little uncomfortable.
Of course. Let's talk about the science that happens when you fry something.
Perfect. I love science.
Oh, come on, James. Don't you want to cuddle?
Nope. I just want the science.
Fine.
Just the science.
You know, I was kidding, right?
I'm not sure. For a moment there, you were kind of looking at me like I was a pie.
Pie.
Melissa, science, please. Quickly.
Okay, you two, gut it out. We have a job to do here. I found the science of frying food really interesting. Did you know that frying is actually a dry cooking process?
But you're plunging things into a boiling pot of oil.
That's almost accurate. Oil doesn't boil until around 572 degrees Fahrenheit. Ooh. Or 300 degrees Celsius.
Wait, but I've seen oil bubbling, like when you put the French fries or chicken into it.
Yeah, but what's actually bubbling is the moisture in the food heating up rapidly and boiling off the surface of the food. You only want your oil between 325 and 375 degrees Fahrenheit, depending on your recipe.
Yep, I knew that. But tell me why that makes it a dry cooking process.
Huh. Because the quick loss of moisture on the outside of the food dehydrates the surface and makes it crispy. The food inside isn't cooked directly by the oil like you would think, with the food being submerged in it.
Oh, so this is a simple case of convection and conduction then.
Exactly. Please elucidate.
The convention happens when the outside layers of the food are heated by the currents of hot oil flowing around it. Then conduction happens when the heated food molecules on the outside start bumping into each other and transferring their energy to heat the food inside.
Correct. The website southernkitchen.com compares cooking by deep frying as closer to sautéing and roasting over steaming and boiling.
That almost sounds healthy then.
Oh, but you can't forget to mention the oil uptake. Olivia Gordon explains it succinctly in an episode of SciShow called The Chemistry of Fried Food. The escaping water molecules leave gaps that let oil molecules enter the food. Some studies have shown that the amount of oil uptake is directly proportional to the amount of water lost. More oil in the food increases the fat content.
No!
But this is where the batter comes in.
Yes. As us fried food connoisseurs know, the type of batter you use will affect the amount of oil uptake and therefore the fat content in your fried foods.
So I'm guessing beer batters and gluten are bad.
Actually, you're more correct than you would have guessed.
But maybe not for the reasons you're thinking. Beer batters will make your outside layer softer and crustier. Softer because the carbon dioxide in beer forms bubbles that fluff up the batter. Crustier because the ethanol in beer evaporates faster than water, which causes the outside layer to crisp up faster so you don't have to leave it in the oil as long.
But less time in the oil has to be better, right?
Actually, not with beer batter, sadly. Olivia Gordon said that one study showed beer batters have more oil uptake than water-based rice or wheat batters.
So where does the gluten come in?
Harold McGee is the author of On Food and Cooking, The Science and Lore of the Kitchen. He says that stronger gluten matrices absorb both moisture and fat at a higher rate than weaker gluten strands. So incorporating gluten-free ingredients into your batter can reduce the oil absorption in your fried foods. You can dilute your regular wheat flour with rice flour, cornstarch, or corn meal.
Wait, are we putting mattresses in oil right now? Okay, all that information is great, but we have to talk about the really important bit. My people invented fried foods.
Yeah, of course they did.
No, seriously. Fried foods have been around for centuries. The ancient Egyptians ate deep-fried dough bits called zelabalaya. It's considered possibly the very first fried food.
He's right.
And I horribly mispronounced it.
That's all right. That's right. I don't think anyone makes it anymore. From here, it traveled to Rome, where the 5th century Romans were frying their food in olive oil, of course. The medieval Europeans ate tempura in the 16th century before it traveled to Japan and became an integral part of Japanese cuisine. We would be remiss if we didn't mention Southern fried chicken. Mm. But did you know that the recipe for that may have come from Scotland?
Huh. No way.
An article on BBC.com Travel claims the recipe came over with Scottish immigrants during the 18th century. There's no denying that the American South has made fried chicken a centerpiece of their regional cuisine, but it's likely because of West African slaves incorporating their culinary traditions to the Scottish fried chicken recipe that birthed the beloved Southern fried chicken we know today.
I know I am immediately going to go home and start practicing my Southern Scottish accent. I love the idea of combining.
Yeah. As you
that
should.
That is just fascinating. And something else we have to think, we have to thank immigrants for. The more you know.
You know, I think we've touched on everything I mentioned at the beginning, and it's probably time to wrap this segment up.
What? No! We have to talk about fair food.
Just kidding. I know that's the only reason you agreed to do this again, Seth.
Darn tootin'.
Don't.
I'm only here for the food and to make James uncomfortable.
Please don't start that again. Please don't.
But it's so easy.
Focus, boys. Would you try a donut dog?
Yes.
Maybe. What is it?
It's a bacon-wrapped all-beef hot dog in a fresh Long John donut bun drizzled with icing.
Yeah. That sounds really good.
I think I would have to add a pickle to balance out the sweet and salty, and the bacon would need to be really crisp.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Oh, I actually didn't see that coming.
All right, how about the Pinot Pretzel Popper Brat from the State Fair? It's a 10-inch jalapeno cheddar bratwurst wrapped in pretzel dough and topped with fresh-cut jalapenos and white cheddar sauce. Served with a jalapeno cream cheese dip. Oh, boy.
I need that in my life right now.
I would have to pass. Too much cheese. But the thought of a brat wrapped in pretzel dough does sound amazing. You can find that delight at Gertrude's Pet Pretzels at the Wisconsin State Fair, and in 2022, it was only $15.
Something you can find at many fairs around Wisconsin is American Indian fry bread. It's amazing with taco-type toppings as well as simple powdered sugar. I agree. Very good.
You said powdered sugar. I'm in.
And don't forget the deep-fried Oreos you mentioned at the beginning.
Oh, I never forget them. I dream about the cakey lusciousness with a crispy dough on the outside, the softened cookie wafers, and the melting frosting in the middle. Yum!
James, he used cake and luscious in the same sentence. Write this down.
Writing it down.
In comparison to a cookie. Don't get your panties in a bunch, Melissa.
Oh, aren't you cute? You know, I think we better call it a show and wrap this up. Thank you for joining us today on another segment of The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. As always, we appreciate hearing from you and having you join us during the segment. Message us on Facebook or email me at melissa.k@civicmedia.us. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, wonderful job, Melissa. Wonderful. It's becoming one of my favorite parts of the week.
That's right.
Doing this good with stuff. You guys. I do have to let you both know, though, you both can call me Jimmy. You guys have known me long enough. Your family, family can call me Jimmy. So listeners, you guys can call, but nobody else can get away with that.
I can't. It's too weird. I can't.
It would be just can't. It just doesn't. It's weird.
It's weird.
Keep on listening every Monday for another Kitchen's Open segment. Again, thank you, Melissa. Nice work.
Thank you.
Take a break. We'll come back and have more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show. Here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. I mean, under a little pressure. We got to hit the segment at the certain time and everything, but otherwise I'm actually not feeling too much pressure today.
No.
How are you guys doing over there? How's everybody holding up? Everybody not feeling?
No pressure. No, I'm feeling good.
Doing good.
Let's ask Freddie and David. Let's see how they're doing. Oh, jeez.
Sounds like they're having some issues there, yeah.
Somebody should check on them. Somebody should see how they're doing. We are going to do something that we love doing around here before we dive into entertainment. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning. How are you? I hope you guys had a great weekend.
Yeah. How was yours?
Oh, no, it was actually kind of calm in this end.
Nice.
Compared to what it was like in June. So.
What's on your mind?
You guys got some entertainment news coming up here, and I got a little bit of entertainment news, but when it comes to the fry food, on the entertainment front, there's a show on from A&E that's on Hulu that you can binge called Deep Fried Dynasty.
Ooh.
And they basically go into a whole season at the Texas State Fair where they claim that's where fried food was truly developed.
Wow. That's quite a bold statement.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I can check that out.
You get the crazy stuff like the deep fried butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they do the deep fried Oreos. They do deep fried PB&J.
That would be good.
That sounds interesting. Hey.
So this goes through, you know, there's, I think they have five or six of the people that have their own stands down there. Some have two stands, some have three, you know, and then they go through how much money they made a night and all that. But it's a really neat show to binge. Each episode's about 20-25 minutes, and then
you're hungry after each episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, thank you for that, man.
You want fair food, so
yeah, there you go.
We'll be sure to check that out. Do you got a favorite fair food?
Where do you want me to start?
Right. It's hard to decide. It's not a fair question to ask.
It's not.
It really isn't.
you have to look at the elephant ears and the corn dogs. Yeah. I mean, obviously, those are the staples. I mean, now you're like Seth, you're talking about they're doing the deep fried Oreos or the Twinkies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're starting. I mean, you could pretty much deep fry anything on a stick. So,
oh, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Fares are going to stick around, if for anything, just for that.
Just for the stick food, yeah.
Even that'll make it stick around. Always good to talk to you, sir. You have yourself a great day.
All right, you guys have a great one, too.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate thanks for calling.
Good guy. Good guy right there. Good call. Appreciate that. I'll check that show out.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
That sounds interesting. Very interesting weekend for Sir Elton John. He wrapped up his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour in Stockholm, Sweden on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting place for it to wrap up.
Yeah.
Interesting place. That's interesting. On Instagram, he posted a, quote, by the numbers wrap-up of the tour. It included 330 shows, 6.25 million fans, more than 32 million notes played, two marriage proposals, 16
wow.
Gucci suits, 120,000 concert programs, 38,610 LAs sung during Crocodile Rock, or Laz. Laz, I'm Laz, sorry, Laz.
Yeah.
Thousands of boas, glasses, and Dodger outfits worn by fans. And 990 drumsticks.
990. You can do 10 more to make it an even 1,000. Come on. Kidding.
This is also the highest grossing tour of all time.
No doubt.
Racking in 887 million.
Oh, jeez.
But I think Taylor Swift's Eras tour is probably going to shatter
probably.
That,
yeah.
By the end of the year. Yeah. During the final show, Coldplay actually beamed in from their gig in another town in Sweden to congratulate him.
Oh, wow. That's kind of
cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of an interesting moment. Yeah. Let's go ahead and play a little here.
Farewell. When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? Should I stay in the fall? Should I listen to my old man? Sign up with you. I'm not a present for your friend too old. This boy's too young to be singing the blues.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I could listen to this the whole show.
Yeah, just play that the rest of the show.
So I apologize. I know I do this too much. I'm really trying to be better about the sports metaphors and everything. But you know, an athlete, you look at a guy like LeBron James. He's 38. Most guys retire at that age, but he's not gonna, because he's still averaging 20 some points a game and 10 rebounds and all this. So even at 38, why would he not keep going out there? Elton John sounds amazing to me. Like he sounded great. It's a little,
and he's 76.
Yeah, if he wanted to keep touring, I would not begrudge him that, because he sounds so good. We've seen plenty of acts that should not be touring still, but
I agree.
It's interesting to see a guy who still has it in him could easily still do another tour. But I want to leave. I want to like Jim Brown. I want to leave being able to walk. I want to be able, you know, leave the game in decent shape.
Well, and you got to remember too how tiring touring is. I mean, when you're it's got to be at a certain age. He's just got to be worn out.
Exhausted.
You know, after all of that. I know he took breaks and stuff like that, but man, when you're that age, to me, it just speaks for so many of these artists that continue well into their 70s. They have this energy. Where do they get it from?
Yeah.
They've had it their whole lives. Where do they get this energy from?
Doing the thing that they love.
It's got to be part of it. Be part of it. Yeah.
It really does. That is pretty good. Thank you, sir. Thank you for entertaining us for so many years.
Thanks, Reggie.
Yeah. Thank you, Reggie. We appreciate you. Sir Reggie.
Sir Reggie. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Sir Reggie sounds so much more fun and weird like him. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know,
he seems more like a Reggie than Nelton. I'm sorry.
He is. That's
he
his
always
name.
Has.
So, yeah.
He always has.
Yeah. Or Reginald, I guess.
Oh, yeah,
technically, it's Reginald.
Route.
But
go that route.
Let's call him Reggie.
So this weekend, Barbie and Oppenheimer are hitting the theaters. Box office history has proven there's still a chance two movies can open on the same weekend and both be successful.
Okay.
Especially when they are done in opposite angles. Melissa touched on this earlier. Oppenheimer is all about the construction of the... of the device that was meant to save us but could end us. And so much of the details in history that we just kind of learned, if you've read the book, that you learned, but you would not know otherwise because it was stuff that they couldn't share back then. Enough history has passed, you know, that it's not time-sensitive material necessarily, so we can talk about these. The cast is insane, and it looks like it's a Christopher Nolan movie, which he has a good following.
Yes.
The Barbie movie has bringing back nostalgia and bringing back a lot of kids, and they have actually a Barbie convention this weekend in Florida that was insanely attended.
Like, I believe it.
So you got both of these movies coming into the weekend, like both expected to do very well. And with the recent weekend we've had, with the 4th of July usually being the banger weekend and it not being.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Director's Cut this weekend, Seth and I diving into the Hollywood blockbuster, is that dead or not? A lot of people right now are renting their homes because they are not sure how this weekend goes, if they're going to have a job or not.
Right.
So it's going to be very curious.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. Normally, a film like Oppenheimer isn't going to be like a big blockbuster type, you know, movie. It's not a big spectacle kind of thing. But because
it's got so many people.
Yeah. It's got the cast. It's got – and Christopher Nolan, who is one of those rare known directors now. He's got his own style. Mm-hmm. He himself will make good box office because of his, you know, his track record and all these things. So that part is fascinating to me. And it juxtaposed to like basically a movie about a toy.
Yeah.
You know, and which is very, very different from what the other one is. So I would see this is two very different audiences. I don't see why either of them couldn't do very well.
Yeah.
Considering.
I think that to the point about Christopher Nolan, his movies can be a little confusing for some, and they end up getting people to go back to the theater in part because they enjoy the movie, but also because I couldn't figure out Tenet. I couldn't figure this out. Right. I got to go back. I got to see it again. I got to, you know, that kind of thing.
And this is a little different. This is a straightforward story, basically. Yeah, yeah. This is a point A to point B kind of story because it's based on the historical record. So that's a little different for him as well. So, I'm curious. How does he handle that? I'm very interested.
We do have examples of two movies hitting the theater on the same weekend and both doing well. Number one, Star Wars Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back, and The Shining, May 21st and 23rd, respectively, in 1980, and both of them were box office sensations.
Right.
Both did very well. Poltergeist in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Interesting.
Khan! Had to do it.
You've done that in two weeks now. We did that in Director's Cut, too.
Yeah, I had to. June 4th in 1982, both those movies came out and both did well.
Two things. Horror movie, science fiction movie.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very
different
interesting.
Audiences.
Yeah.
Now, both of these doing well, it's a little interesting. Blade Runner and The Thing from June 25th of 1982. And now, and technically, both of these movies bombed, even though they're considered classics now. E.T. was still dominating the box office at that time.
Again, science fiction and horror. We're seeing a trend here.
Ghostbusters and Gremlins, June 8th, 1984, one of the greatest weekends of my life. I went and saw both of them as a kid. I'll never forget it.
Those are both more or less comedies. Yeah. I mean, with some supernatural horror elements in them. But yeah, those are both comedies. So yeah.
Gremlins 2, I saw in the drive-in movie theater that used to be here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, wow.
It was the only time, one of two times I've ever been to a drive-thru.
Oh, man. Love drive-in movies.
They used to have a drive-in theater here in Rapids. It was right over by Clancy's. It was awesome.
If they hadn't have torn down the screen, I would buy it and renovate it. I love drive-in movies. I love them.
I could see that being one of those things that comes back.
There is one down where my sister lives, just outside Jefferson, Wisconsin. It does gangbusters business in the summertime. There's a line of cars going into it. It's crazy.
How have they done this? How are they've been struggling for over 20-some years to get people to go to movie theaters. Why not? You don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
Nope.
Just bring back the drive-through theater and drive-in theater and see if that works. See how
I'm
that
with you.
Does.
Totally with you on that.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Bob, you're gonna lose more money. You're already losing money in movie theaters and everything.
Yeah, there's a few of them in Wisconsin. I drive past the Stardust drive-in movie theater. I believe that's the one that's up in Chautauqua.
Yep.
I've seen their sign. I've never been to it.
you really want to, quote, save the big Hollywood blockbuster? I think that's how. I think that's one of the ways you do it.
I agree, 100%.
That and not having to, you know, take out a mortgage to go see a movie.
Exactly.
That, you know, that might that too. Which actually might be happening as we speak. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but we're like years down the line. I think that the prices are going to start going down because a lot of these movies are going to start going
down.
They're
going to have to.
The budgets for these movies are going to have to tighten up.
Something's going to happen.
And with that, that's going to tighten things up a little bit more on concessions, which is going to tighten things up more on, you know, your ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see, I think, one way or another, ticket prices go down. It might only be like 50 cents or a dollar or something, but they will go down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Batman and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, June 23rd, 1989. One of the other greatest weekends of my life.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
It's a classic.
That was one of those movies. Seeing that in a movie theater was awesome.
Yes.
Was really
cool. Oh, I bet.
We have a call coming in. We have to take it. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning. Racine had a drive-in theater, and so did Kenosha, but Milwaukee, South part of Milwaukee, had 41 Twin. They had a theater outside with movies on both sides.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
That was only about 10 miles from my house, so that was one I went to a lot also.
Nice.
Loved them. Still love them, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you, sir. Always good talking to you.
All right.
Have a great day.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. we have the best listeners in radio, easily. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight and Mamma Mia, July 18th, 2008.
Wait, Mamma Mia was a hit? I guess I didn't know that.
It did not. I think that they're being very loose with the term hit.
Being very generous.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Especially they even said that about Blade Runner and The Thing. Neither of those did very well. I did not see Mamma Mia. I do remember this though when this happened because you had. It was so interesting. I went and saw this in a movie theater in Chicago. And you had a bunch of people, of course, dressed up as Batman and the Joker and all this. And at the same time, in the same line, you had people dressed up and having musical sheets to sing along with the Mamma Mia thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful carnival of just, you know, moviegoers.
That's great. Love it.
I'll never forget it. It was awesome.
That's cool.
We've got history. We've got proof that this could do well. I'm very curious to see next week when we get together and we talk about these box office numbers, not just how those two did, but how the other movies, the Indiana Jones and The Flash, how these movies have done too. Because The Flash has already been pulled from movie theaters. I've never seen
this. Almost unheard of, yeah.
In a week's time, a blockbuster like that with the amount of hype and money put on it, but they do this now because if we pull it out of the sooner we pull it out of theaters, the sooner we can throw it on streaming.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's trying to save the bucks that they can on this
exactly.
one.
Exactly. You got
it. Heads are rolling already at Warner Brothers for this. It's the biggest failure in Warner Brothers history.
Takes.
That's saying something. Warner Brothers has been around for a long time.
Yeah. Rafter Baseball on your radio dial as we wrap up our entertainment. Tonight, 5:50, our pregame starts as Mallards come to town over at Winterfield. And then tomorrow night, we'll be in Madtown, in Madison, for that game. 5:50 pregame starts for both of those. Get your tickets and follow at NorthwoodsLeague.com and get to follow the Rafters right here at WFHR.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more fun after Melissa's news right here at The Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Oh, that piano. We hope you're having a good Monday out there. Happy start to the week. Let's get into some sinning. Let's get it done.
Start the week with some sinning.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten into a fight with a celebrity online? 1 in 5 Americans claim they have.
Oh, wow.
Someone polled 3,000 people to find the most common, quote, social media sins we commit online.
All right.
And here we go. You want to go at 10 or 1? Where do you guys want to start?
Let's start at 10 today, I think.
Yeah.
That sounds good. All right. So, number 10, catfishing people or pretending to be someone else. 17% of people have done that.
Ugh.
Wow.
That's yucky.
I'm going to put this out there right now. Whatever you believe, to each their own. But I'm telling you, karma exists. Mm-hmm. Karma is real. Karma doesn't care if you believe in it. It believes in you.
Instant karma's going to get you.
That's the kind of stuff. I can't think of. It's the first thing I think of when I think of the catfishing stuff is karma.
Mm-hmm.
I dated somebody that used to watch that TV show Catfish, like, religiously. And I saw bits and pieces of it, of course, right. and everything, and would see full episodes. And the damage that they would cause with these things. But what was just as interesting to me is so often the people that were damaged doing it.
Because it takes a toll on you pretending to be something else or someone else and fully diving into that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any, like, I have no quarter for something like that. I can't think of many more, you know, ruthless, mean things you can do or anything. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that it you have to look at both sides. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse for doing that to somebody. I just, you know, think that you have to look at these things. Arguing with a celebrity on social media, 19% claim that they have.
Now, what do they mean by arguing? See, now this is getting to some hairy area here because it's because were they following a thread and just put "yeah" on the end or something that? Yeah, I argued with a celebrity.
Interesting. It's an interesting.
Yeah, because how many celebrities respond?
It's hard to
on Twitter. There's a lot of celebrities who will interact with others, and especially in the sports world. Mm. Whether it's an athlete, Kevin Durant is very famous for doing this. Mm-hmm. A lot of talking heads at the Mouse Network like doing this, so you do get a little bit of this, but it's here and there.
Yeah,
and what I haven't had happen, but I will admit I have geeked out about. Is I will so I posted a Living Color song once, and Vernon Reid, the lead guitarist for my favorite guitar player of all time, liked it.
Whoa!
And I took a snapshot of it.
Of course you did. You got to do that, man.
That's the closest I've come to to me anything cringy that I've done online. Nice. I think that's as far as I've gone.
I like it.
Posting revealing images or videos of yourself. 19% of people have done that.
Yeah, don't do that. Mm,
it lives on the internet forever.
It's going to be there. You got it.
And I think this ties into the next one, sexting someone nude images. 20% of people have said they have done that. Especially to the young people out there. This stuff lasts forever.
Don't do it.
You can't erase anything off the internet. Think before you hit send.
Yes.
Please. Future you will thank you.
Yes.
I will admit, I am not at all talking down to young people. If I was young when this was available, I am such a knucklehead. I guarantee you I would have done something like this, even though I would have known better, even though I should have been smarter and everything. So I don't want to sound like I'm preaching or anything like that. I'm very lucky that technology didn't exist back then, because I'd have been a fool. I'd have done something. Posting a photo or video of someone without their permission. 20% have done that.
Yeah, not cool.
That is not okay.
That's not okay.
It's not only not okay, that can get into some legal action.
Exactly. Yep.
Leaving mean or abusive comments on someone's post. 22% have done that.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Yeah.
Just to be mean?
Disagreeing is one thing. But just being mean? What?
For the sake of being mean, I don't have time for it.
Well, and James, I'm guessing, maybe I'll steal James a little bit here, is what he's thinking on this. But it's one of those things. It just shows you like a cowardliness.
Yeah.
Because you're anonymous. You know, it's one of those things where you can say, oh, I can get away with this here. There's going to be no repercussions, you know, because they're not going to come, you know, to my house and beat me up or whatever. It just makes you look like a cheesy coward. Yeah.
Keyboard cowards.
Yeah.
That's what we deal with nowadays is these keyboard cowards. Mm-hmm. And I call them out. I deal with a lot of this. A lot of it is more direct to, sent to me email-wise. But there's comments here and there and things that I've gotten on my posts or different such.
Right.
And I always do the same thing with this. I don't use a fake name on social media. Mm-hmm. I don't use a fake name on the air. Like, I'm right here, everybody. You see what you get.
Yep.
You get what you see as it is. I say the same thing to these cowards. You do that now. I do it. You do it. I don't hide anything. Let's see you do the same thing. If you really, you know where somebody stands on something when they show that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They if they really hate on something and they put their actual name on it or something like that.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of that goes on nowadays. And, you know, I don't put any energy into something that they didn't even put the energy into. They didn't even want to put their real name on something. I'm not going to let it.
It's lazy, too.
I'm sorry. Like, this stuff is so lame.
It is.
The whininess of it. If there's one thing at the number one, the top of my list of things that I just got no time for, the bandwidth for, I don't care if you're my boss or you are a friend. The whininess. It's got to go. I'm so sick of whining. I'm tired of it. Like, just own your life, own things, and move that dang on, man. Yeah. And get over yourself. It, the world don't revolve around you.
Wait, it doesn't. Oh.
Sorry, Seth. I should have told you that off air. I should have told you that off air. That wasn't something I shouldn't put at you right there. Posting something you regretted while drunk.
Oh, God.
22% have done that.
Drunk posting.
Yeah. Don't post when drunk.
Does texting count?
Can we finally get to the place where if you're drunk, if you're high, just watch TV.
Yeah.
Sit down. Yes, okay? Yes, just don't do anything else. Just sit there.
Give your phone.
Put your phone away.
Yep.
Put your phone and laptop away. You both are right on this. Yes, yes. It's, yes, yes, 100%.
Don't drive. Don't walk. Just sit.
I was thinking the phone, but as soon as Melissa said laptop, I'm like, oh my God, yes. Yeah, that too. That too. Yeah. Posting something when you were angry, then regretting it, 29% have done that.
Take a beat. Take a breath.
Yep.
This one is interesting. So Laura and I this weekend went out. We got ice cream and we had a good time. But there were some parts of the business, and I'm not going to throw them out there because I don't like doing that, that weren't really good. And I did not know this. She had a comment all ready to go, locked up and everything, that she didn't post because she wanted to think about it first.
Mm.
And, you know, you got about a half an hour drive or whatever and stuff. You have time to think about these things. I had never heard somebody actually say that before. I know I try to do that. I know some people that probably think that way. I've never heard somebody do that. I encourage others to really do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you really feel it, you'll still feel it a half an hour later. You may just actually be thinking clearer and be able to make your comments a little more concise than sounding like a child and whining.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe reword it or maybe, just
proofread.
Proofread.
Check your spelling.
That's another good one, actually. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot more. Because I do like people leaving comments. I don't have a problem with people, hey, if it's bad service, that's all right.
Yeah.
But I also have two things. One, I do encourage you to take your time. You know, you're going to feel it's not going anywhere. The internet's still going to be there. But also, giving each other some grace on this stuff and be willing, just as willing to leave positive comments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because people are far more likely to complain than they are to give credit.
Exactly.
I do this thing, and I have no idea if others do, and I do not. I'm not even necessarily telling you to do it because I'm crazy. But I have this list and this thing in my head, this balance, that every time I leave a good comment, that says, okay, well, I can leave a negative comment sometime if I want.
Mm-hmm.
If I leave a negative comment, I have to, that day, somewhere or another, leave a positive comment somewhere.
Makes sense.
I have to even the balance. I have to. In my brain, it's important. I don't believe that necessarily this should be the case for everybody.
Right.
I'm never putting my mental health on another human being. I care way too much about you people. But I do think that for me, that karma I was talking about, that feeling of what you put into the ether, what you put into the universe, that matters.
Well, and also, I think something that we should keep in mind, especially if like you were saying, like a business or a place, you know, why don't you give them the chance to rectify it first? Before posting your bogus comment. If it's still a problem, then you could say, hey, I went here, it didn't work out, I tried to get satisfaction, and I didn't get any. Now, that would make sense to me, yeah.
Right, to approach them first. That's a good point, Seth.
Mm-hmm. Number one on the list, arguing with random people, 38% have done that.
What's the point?
I will never understand
What's
this.
What's the point?
You are arguing with people, with strangers. You're arguing with people you'll probably never see in your life. Why do you care what they think? Why? Why are you worrying about this?
I don't know.
It's no different to me than people worrying about what's going on in other people's bedrooms. Like, I'm not in that room.
No.
I don't care. And
don't
I
care.
Don't want to know. I definitely do not want to know. Like, do your own thing.
Yeah.
If you ain't hurting anybody, it ain't our business.
That's right.
Well, and this is the only caveat I would put out to that is if you're trying to misinformation, if you're trying to combat misinformation, that would be the only time that I would say that it's okay to get into an argument with somebody you don't know online. But you are factually wrong with your statement, you know, then yes.
That I think is the outlier that we all have to kind of go by nowadays, that we have in our brains. And that can go both ways.
Yep.
You know, what we think, and then, of course, what another the opposite thought.
Exactly. Keep an open mind.
And this comes back to the grace where, look, be able to argue and walk your separate ways.
Yep.
You know, go your separate paths.
Have civil discussions.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to sink to a lower level.
Think about what you show the rest of the world when you do that. Don't you take a little pride in that? Don't you feel good about yourself
being able
to do that?
Yep.
I mean, look at that a little bit. Look in the mirror a little bit. Let's take a break. Let's come back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We want you. Don't worry.
Don't you want me?
We do. Actually, I need you for one more segment, Seth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I definitely want you for
That's all I'm giving you, man. That's all I'm giving. One more.
So 80s. So 80s. Love it. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got to get into this That Ain't Right story before we get into some local good stories. Be careful how you use emojis. A judge in Canada just ruled that that they can be legally binding.
Ooh.
Specifically, the thumbs up emoji.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
It all stemmed from a disagreement between a farmer in Saskatchewan and a company that was trying to buy grain. Back in 2021, a buyer for the company sent a mass text to a bunch of farmers trying to buy around 100 tons of it. A farmer named Chris Atchter called him back, and they talked it through. Then the buyer texted Chris a message to please confirm the contract. Chris texted back a thumbs up, but he claims he didn't even read the contract yet. He was just trying to let the guy know he'd gotten his text.
Uh-huh.
The deal fell through when Chris didn't deliver the grain when he was supposed to, so the company sued him.
Mm-hmm.
Chris's lawyer argued emojis can mean different things, so it shouldn't be legally binding. But the judge called it a, quote, non-traditional and, quote, valid signature. So now Chris has to pay over $61,000 in damages plus interest.
Wow.
Ouch. Over a thumbs up. I knew I hated that thumbs up for some reason.
Yeah, right? I'm with you, Melissa. Yeah, yeah. That ain't right.
Oh, boy.
Like I don't even know. I'm not even 100% of where the that ain't right part is here. I just know that there's something about this that don't feel right to me. Don't feel kosher to me. But
first,
I know where it is.
First of all, is there a more Canadian story than this? A grain farmer and a buyer? I love it. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's so Canadian.
That's so good. I love it.
But it's the changing world, man. It's one of those things. What is legal? What's not anymore? That's the confusing part. And I understand people being confused a lot. It's like, well, is this right or is this not? Technology is moving so much. And James, you've said this many times on this show. Technology is moving so much faster than the legal system that we have to work all this stuff out on the fly. And it can get pretty crazy.
We're building the boat on the water.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what we're doing here. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but if you know anything about the law, you know it only takes one case to set a precedent.
For
set
everybody, precedent. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to cite this case now moving forward.
Oh, yeah. There is definitely going to be more conversations like this.
Oh, yes.
One.
It's going to be very confusing with the yoga prayer hands like that one. I see the cases now.
What does it mean?
That's so good.
I don't know.
Oh my god, that was good. I like the idea. I'm now gonna sue my friends who don't high five me back. But I didn't know that was a high five. I thought it was just a hands up.
Yeah, what is that?
I thought it was a hands up. what about company like the emoji companies getting sued? Because
there's
this.
A can of worms.
Like if it could be sued, an attorney will think of it.
Hold on, guys. Wait. This might be the death of emojis.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that is optimistic.
That is
really optimistic, man.
Could be, though. Could be. Does everybody has a friend that uses an emoji too much? And I think I might be that guy.
You use a lot of emojis. I will give you that.
You do.
I worry so much about my tone in text. I can't help myself, though. I'm really trying to be better about it, not use as many. But I have not. I'm looking. I have not gotten better at this. I've got work to do. I need help.
Oh, that's good.
But we already knew that. That's not breaking news.
Just add it to the list. It's
Add it to the list, yeah.
We need a palate cleanser. Let's get to some good stories of the day. And, of course, I want to remind everybody that Kids from Wisconsin is going on tonight. Be sure to check out this show if you can. It's a wonderful show. Support the locals. Support local arts. And get on over to the PAC for the Performing Arts Center tonight for Kids from Wisconsin. 7 o'clock show. You can get your tickets at SavorTheArts.org. Big thank you to Sally and all the gang over there at Savor the Arts. Again, SavorTheArts.org is where you can get your tickets. Coming up in a couple of days, got another big event.
Bark at the Park. Yeah. Everybody, bring your animal, bring your dog, your cat, whatever, to the park on July 12th at Historic Witter Field for the game there. So sponsored by Current Technologies and the Rafters. Events of the night include a dress-up contest for personal pets.
Nice.
That's going to be fun. Yeah. Groomer wars during the game, bingo games, prizes, and more. Bring your pet to the game. And, of course, this is going to bring your donation as well to the Southwood County Humane Society. They will accept it there. And you'll receive a free gift from Kohler Generators and Current Technologies. We are also a sponsor of that, WFHR is. Yeah. So go have some fun. Bring your furry friends to the park on July 12th. Game starts at 6:35.
Go ahead, Melissa.
The dogs are going to love it. You know, what dog doesn't love a baseball game?
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Central Wisconsin Gift of Life will be at the ballpark that night as well. They are a sponsor that night. They've got a great package here. $6 per ticket will go back to $6 of the $20 you spend on this ticket could go back to the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. It would. Mm-hmm. You get one reserve seat, one rafter hat, and a hot dog and a fountain drink for $20. Big thanks to Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. They are actually going to join us on the air tomorrow.
All right.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Terry will join us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk a little bit more about this. We're looking forward to her joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Cool.
And, of course, Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight. Be sure to catch that. And remember that we have these summer free meals for kids available. That is going on. Mm-hmm. Free meals available in the mornings at Lincoln High School from 7:30 to 8:30 and at Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School from 8 to 8:30. Lunch is available at Meade Park from 11 to 12:30 and at Witter Park from 11:30 to 12:30. Big thank you to everybody that is a part of this. You can find out more by contacting them at schoolnutrition@wrps.net. schoolnutrition@wrps.net.
Yes.
Wonderful show. Great way to kick off the week, everybody.
Woo-hoo.
And a big thank you to our callers today. You guys that called in. Love that. Yes. Appreciate that so much. Have a good day, you two.
You too.
Yep. You too, James.
Have a good day, everybody. We'll meet you back here at around 3 o'clock for Playmakers. Live and direct today from 3 to 4 Playmakers right here at...
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.